Welcome back to the Words of the Wise podcast, hosted by me, Lexi Maynor. If you're listening today, please make sure to like and subscribe to the account. You can also find us on Instagram at Words of the Wise Podcast if you would like to follow us there as well. My guest today has many wise things to say and stories to tell. So without further ado, here is episode 4 with Catherine Zacu featuring her granddaughter, Abby Bombadelli.
All right. Hello.
Hello.
How are you? My name is Catherine K. Zacu. Z-A-K-U. I'm from the northern part of Nigeria in Africa.
Mm-hmm. What is the name of the city in Nigeria?
In Kwande. Kwande.
Kwande.
In Plateau State. It's a Christian-dominated area
okay.
in the country. There is peace, love. I was born some 67 years ago in a family of 5, 4 boys, 1 girl. And I happen to be the girl in their midst. Unfortunately, I lost 3 of my brothers. So I have only one now, my half-brother. You know, Africa, most of our areas, they are polygamous homes and so on. My father had his first wife. They had a child. Then she divorced. After some years, my father married my mom, the second wife.
You know how they met?
In the same village.
Okay. So can you explain the different villages? How are they different from each other?
Some 4 kilometers, or you use miles here, 4 miles, 20 miles, you know, just...
How is their culture different? Like, what makes them different?
The same culture.
Almost like a different city? Like, it's just like, just the different...
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense.
I'm a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And my father was a traditionalist. My mother, a Christian. But they relate very, very well. When it is time for prayers, she'll go to the church as early as 5:30. Even and then when they were there with her, she takes them to church early, first thing in the morning, they must go to church. Even the little ones, and then she'll back him and they will go to church. Early in the morning, 5.
Wow. So her faith was very important to her.
Yes. With time, in her old age, she was appointed one of the mothers of the church. That's like an advisor.
Oh.
And, this time, she had moved to the city to stay with me. So many people used to say, Kai, Mama, she'll call her, fall now. The following Sunday, you would think she won't come. She'll be there. Mm-hmm. If the car is not around, she'll climb back. She wouldn't want to miss church.
Oh, wow.
Everybody said, because they saw her faith coming to church, the young men said, what will stop them from coming to church? So she was really a spirited person with determination. She wouldn't give up. Sometimes we carry her from the church straight to the hospital. The following Sunday, you see her back in the church.
Wow.
If we are not going, she said she will trek. So I say, Mama. Well, that was her faith, and that stimulated all of us, including Anne and her siblings. As to siblings, I had 4 children.
How old were you when you had your first?
I was 19.
19?
Yes. Then this one, the lawyer, we lost her. And this one too, Sam, he read economics university. She read law. She had her Bachelor of Law degree.
Do you mind me asking how old she was when she passed?
She was 23 years.
23?
Mm.
What from?
Just headache. Complain of the headache. I think there was probably some burst one of her veins must have busted from her head. Because she was complaining, and probably the level of our medical system, they couldn't...
Wasn't advanced enough to help.
Wow.
So that's it. And this one, Sam, he was 36 when he was involved in an accident.
Yeah.
You know him better, and he died. That was some years ago. God bless him with children before he died. There's 4 children, 3 boys and 1 girl.
And do they all live in Nigeria?
Yes.
So Anne was your only child who moved to America?
She was the only one.
So all of your kids were very successful?
I think so. Successful when you die before your time.
Yeah.
That is like giving birth to the wind.
Mm.
Mm. This is my husband. Carbon copies.
How did you meet your husband?
We met at the school party. They are college and secondary school. And our own secondary school were run by the missionaries. So the Roman Catholic mission. So he went to St. Joseph. And one of their parties, they invited my school, and that was where we met.
Did you go up and talk to him first?
No. Abomination. It would be waywardness for a lady to go and talk to the man first. You know, a kind of African society, there is some level of shyness. When we are growing up, if you see your boyfriend coming from here, you will take the other direction. You do not want to meet anybody, to see you people, even talk. Not like nowadays, yeah. When you say, hey, we met and...
So he approached you, obviously?
Yes, he even followed me outside to ease myself with some girls. He went and stood by the door, waiting and there.
What did he say to you?
I greeted. He introduced himself. He said, what of yourself? I said, I have no name. Yeah, even if you like the person, you have to pretend you don't like the person. He said, no. After we had closed, they came to see us off, school bus. Yeah. From their place, came and picked us from the school, and when we were going, wow. I could remember vividly how we entered. It was a Beetle car, Volkswagen.
Oh yes,
Volkswagen. Those small ones.
Yeah. Beetle. Okay, yeah. Uh-huh. That's how you get to school?
Yeah.
Wow.
So he took us there. We got there. I'd never seen a white woman before. The man who took us, the Reverend Father, was a white man from Ireland.
Ireland. Okay.
Yes. So we went, saw the sisters. Got there in the night, and. He now went, told them that he brought two of their students. So they called us in. They had, you know, village life. There was no electricity. Mm-hmm. They used gas light and bush lamp. The lamps that you use going for camping okay. Lamp. So they now called some girls to call. They said, they called the name of one girl from my own village. Mm-hmm. And she said she knew us. And after my secondary school, I went to, which is also a mission primary secondary school, mm-hmm. St. Louis College. From St. Louis, I went into maritology. You know what that? Marriage.
You married?
Mm-hmm.
How old were you when you got married?
I was 18.
How old were you when you first met? I know you said that you met in college, but...
I was about 17 years old.
Okay.
And but we didn't do, there was no serious talk, just hi. Finally, he discovered my name from some of my classmates. So during the holidays, it so happened his uncle's house was near my auntie's house. Mm. So then he came, greeted my uncle's wife, they greeted and so mm-hmm. on. That. So they said they were looking for one girl by name. So my uncle's wife said, what do you want to do with her? He said, no, they met. Okay, she has gone out. So he came back in the evening. From there, he kept on coming to the house until he saw me. We started talking, but there was nothing serious. It was after I'd finished secondary school, came more serious.
Did he propose to you, engagement, or was it just more of a conversation?
Conversation, and then he said he was serious. So I say, serious. Say he wants to marry. I say, marry. At this age, yeah, he even had no job then. He was going for his polytechnic. He was then in the polytechnic. Because after secondary school, he went to the polytechnic.
So you thought he was ridiculous for thinking you should get married?
At that age. Because somebody had proposed when I was even 12 years old.
Someone proposed to you when you were 12?
Three men.
Three?
Yes.
Grandma.
In fact, when I was there in the convent school, they used to read our letters. Somebody, I didn't know him, now wrote, I love you. I want to marry you. Principal opened the letter, called me whether I knew the person. I said, no. He said, but do I look at the address? I said, no. He said, these are the people spoiling small girls.
Spoiling them. Wow.
Uh-huh.
So another one also, that time, probably I was exactly 12 or 12 and a half.
Oh my gosh.
Said, no, my father said, they even went, one of them went, the father, his parents went to meet with my dad mm-hmm. to talk to him that, look, they would want to marry me. You know, this one, it's like a kind of arranged
marriage type deal.
Not that you even know the person or love the person. He said, you go, when you reach there, you love him. And so my father said, no, his idea was, I must finish college.
And then get married.
Then think of whether I should marry or go further. Because he was enlightened. That's the lucky part of it. In a nutshell, I thank him very much for that. Because when I look at the situation today, many of my classmates fell by the roadside in terms of education.
Mm-hmm.
I met one of my classmates whom we schooled together in primary school. He said, look, you are not wanting to go to school. When they come to say, let us go to school, I say, no. I will start crying. Then they will carry me. The boys will lift me up. They are taking me to school. I will be struggling and say, no, I don't want school. I don't want school. I prefer to sell. You sell like juice. Because my family are business minded. So yeah. I was selling cocoa. So I grew up with my aunt.
Yeah.
Mother's immediate senior sister. She had no child. So when my mother gave birth, that was about almost 10 years after marriage. Then that one said, she didn't have any child. So she said, well, if my mother should give birth, Tari, whether it's a boy or girl, she want to win that child and raise the child as her own. So She now gave a name and called me Catman, the K that you see.
Catman?
Yeah. Oh. I have got my own. Oh.
That's the meaning, right?
Gotten my own?
Yes.
And that's your tribal name?
Yes, I've gotten my own.
And how were you given that name?
No, my name at birth is Matamalan. That is my grandfather's name was given to me. But when that lady took me to her house, changed. Everybody was calling me the name she called me. And she loved me too much. Let me put it in the African way. Because after my stay with her for some months, about a year or two, she conceived. She announced I brought her that luck to have children. So grew up with her before going to boarding school. God so blessed her with 4 children, 1 boy, 3 girls.
Wow.
So then I went to the university. I'm giving you in a disjointed manner, but you can connect. When I got married, I now went back to school to do my degree. BSc, graduated, went for service. You know, they used to do it. I think they copied it from you Americans. When you finish the university,
you have to serve.
You have to serve for a year.
You
have
to serve. So you served in the military for a year?
Not military. Oops. A kind of military training. So after that, you can, if you like, join the military if you like.
So what exactly did you do then?
Read history, but my intention was to go for political science, but they gave me history. And when they give you have no option, if you say you will not go, then somebody will take your place.
How is the application process?
You write fill the form, and then based on your qualification, the credits you have, and I had 7 credits. So I wanted to do pole science or law, but I was more inclined towards economics or mathematics, because I even went after the secondary school. They offered me admission at the ATC, that is Advanced Teachers College, and I was to go and I went there to read science. But you know, this misguided kind of life, that's what we are talking with your mom. I didn't have the proper guidance, this counseling and guidance on which profession you should go into and so on. Just intention was go to the university. So before I went there, they offered me that admission at the Advanced Teachers College. I was to spend 4 years to read science, purely science courses. I looked at, I said, Kai, to do 4 years, I'd rather go and do 3 years or 2 years in another course. So I abandoned the science course. My lecturer said, you could just stay a little there. You can go and do medicine. I said, yeah, if I finish like 3 years here, go for medicine, another 6 years, I'll have gray hair. So I opted for a change of course and I finished.
So you said in
the end, when I was working now as a senior officer, I had the opportunity to go and do my master's in Bachelor of Arts Administration. And I grew up the ranks till I became a director in the Ministry for Local Government and Chieftaincy Affairs. And there I worked. My normal schedule was monitoring and evaluation of government projects, finances, and so on.
So you had a high-profile job.
Yes, I now became a professional. Came like an auditor and an investigator.
Oh, wow.
You want to know what government funds are being used for. Are they used prudently or not? And you are to report back. So that's how I rose to the rank of a director. Wow. Then I retired in 2012.
What was your most interesting story as an investigator?
It could be very challenging. You have a lot of people, situations that you just have to speak the truth. Some people even try to bribe you, but if you know your worth, it's better you reject the bribe, because you would have then tarnished your image if you do that. You will not have mouth or courage to challenge those people anymore, or to write any nasty report about them. That's it.
You said that you were 19 when you had your first child.
Yes.
So you were having kids while you were in college then, correct?
I had one. I was then in college. Gay, I was even pregnant when I was going doing some exercise. We asked to do some work. I quit because I was a sports lady.
You were a sports lady?
Yeah.
What sport did you play?
I run.
You ran?
Yes.
Oh. So who would watch Anne when you would go to school?
I had one of my cousins staying with me. Mm-hmm. Even when you go to work, there is somebody in the house to take care.
What was your wedding like?
Just a low-key kind of wedding.
Low-key?
Mm-hmm. How, were there a bunch of people there?
Yeah, and just a few friends.
What did your wedding dress look like?
African attire.
Tell
me about the stuff that you have to wear for like...
Okay, this one on Anne's wedding day.
That was Anne's wedding?
Yes. See me here.
Yeah.
And don't have...
African style is way different.
It's quite different from your
own. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many years were you and your husband married?
To his death.
When did he pass away?
1997.
So you said this was at Anne's wedding, right?
Yes, on her wedding day. A day we normally have what is called send forth. Either a day or two before the wedding.
So you have two weddings.
Fourth wedding is send forth. This one, there is one of send forth. That is a day of prayers for the person. Father lying down on the ground.
What makes the traditional wedding different than the second one?
He just fulfilled that, by tradition.
Okay.
The dowry or bride price.
Yeah.
In our own culture, the man's family will do the payment.
And will pay the wife's family.
Uh-huh.
How is that determined?
No, based on whatever you give. We tell you that marriage is to live together for life.
Yeah.
And it is not a question of selling. You are not selling your child and so. So just anything you can produce, you can give.
Is he praying on the floor there?
He's showing respect.
Yes.
Okay. I mean, the like traditional greeting.
In the morning, remember when we say good morning? You're supposed to kneel down on the floor.
Oh. You so in the same prostrate on the floor.
Is everyone supposed to do that or just the younger?
No, the man's family.
Okay.
Like, I think this is your dad and some of his people. See Anne's uncles sitting here and our own family, they are seated on the chairs. When you are greeting your in-law, you don't sit on the chair.
You have to
prostrate.
Lay down.
Mm-hmm. Can you see them?
Do they have to say anything when they do that? Or
they will say, this is what has brought them. They've come to ask for this girl's hand in marriage and so on. And then they bring some clothes or some boxes of clothes. It's a celebration, and it's another process. Then they will ask, you know the girl? Said, yes. Do you know her name? You tell them yes or no. If you see the girl, will you know? So we brought some, about three girls, friends of Anne. Then they will cover their heads. Say, okay, can you identify the person?
So you have to identify the girl out of
that is covered, like here.
Covered their heads.
Oh, what happens if they don't discover the correct girl?
They have come to the wrong person.
Have you ever been to a wedding where they didn't discover the right girl?
Because you normally, either they will give signal, the person should be able to identify even the legs of the girl. This, I think it was Anne in this one, maybe. But they normally tell you, look at the legs, look at the legs. Even when you are going around to check, they say, check her leg. You should know better.
Get the wrong one. What other customs are in Nigeria that we don't have here in America?
Marriage in Africa, generally, or Nigeria, is a family affair. It's not just between you two, the man and the lady. Families are
really
involved, you know. You invest a lot into marriage because you bring, I think, and they brought either a piece of clothes also.
Wow.
Like in order to like fully get the consent of marriage, like families have to bring gifts, like heavy gifts for the family.
Oh, wow.
The lady's side will not bring their own that day.
Okay.
Can you think of any other customs?
Or like daily, just like not even with wedding, just daily customs that are...
Oh, there's a bunch.
Oh, there is a lot. We believe respect and discipline and hard work. Not that you just see somebody and say, you want to find out the background of the man. What work does he do? How is his family? And so on. Not that we're after money, but want to know, is a girl going into a good home that will be able to take care of her, or in a crisis kind of lifestyle or marriage with problems and so on? You cannot sit on a chair in your house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Sit down on the floor.
Oh.
That is the sign of respect. Your father's side, their own is your.
The tribes are different. Mm-hmm.
But all the same is respect, mm-hmm. is utmost.
And I think Abby's mentioned how respecting your elders is
huge.
It's, you cannot disrespect your elders. It's very, very, it's like family that you have to respect. I remember when we were growing up, we used to have this saying, even if you in school, mm-hmm. you say 365 days is not a joke. That means even if it is one day that I'm your senior, you must give me
respect.
And that's where you said every morning
you have to get up,
go and greet your daddy, your seniors, and your juniors will do the same to you. Mm-hmm. So that discipline must be there, that respect in the morning. You believe in greeting.
Yeah, even in the schooling system, when it's like seniors, juniors, like the juniors have to treat the seniors with like so much respect.
Respect. Otherwise,
you'll be kicked out. Could you not? Or they'll beat you up.
Uh-huh. They'll wait until all the teachers are gone, then they will bring you to the rostrum. I remember when we were in secondary school, that was where you could discipline your junior. You would see some big girls, even older than you, but because they are your juniors, you send for them after school. So, okay. You saw me, you didn't greet me. Go and climb that rostrum there. Before the lady or girl will even talk, they will say, climb the rostrum. That is elevated ground bar.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Mm. In class, go and stand there. And we'll take turns to insult the poor girl. look at her mouth. Look at her big head. Look at as bold as brat. Look at her. Look at her legs. Idiot. You know, fear God, you know, fear man. And when you finish with her, no matter how strong-hearted
she is,
she'll break down.
Right? Oh, no.
Then you will be next. Then it will come to my turn, to your turn. And we used to be at 36 or so in class. So by the time it's halfway, a girl will just say, okay. Say, please, I'm very sorry. Sorry for yourself. Idiot. Look at her.
Remember how you said, even mom said, it was like, you're not allowed to wear makeup at school. They saw you wearing it. They force you to wipe it off.
Really?
You cannot even dare do that. They say powder is for old women. Are you old that you want to lift up your face? Then you say no. Say, okay, go and wash it. Then come back here.
Wow.
So that was it. But seniority is very, very... And you know, in African culture, we believe so much in respect. You have to respect yourself. Respect your family, earn a good name for your family. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, people will say, look at that mannerless girl.
Yeah, well, it's even like, you could be, doesn't matter if you're like not a person's parent, like they can, they can like just as well.
Of course.
You could be walking down the street and a random person sees you do something wrong and they can discipline you just as
sure,
much.
Sure, sure.
If that means a spanking on the street, that means
But we say a child does not belong just to the mother and the father, but to the society. So if the child is bad, it is the society that will be talking about and say, we want the child to grow up as a disciplined, respectful child. So if you are doing so, or you do something wrong, and I see it, that even if I'm not your relative, I'll call you and talk to you. If it warrants spanking you, I will do that. Yes. So that if tomorrow you grow up and become something, you'll be a credit to the entire community. If you disgrace yourself, you are disgracing not just your family, but the whole community.
I like that, though.
They said training a child is not just for the parents, but for the community. You want the best to come out from your community.
That's why they were also close and so...
So what do you think about America?
No, the land is good. The people are...
Lack respect. What's your government like there?
No, it's okay. In the central part, even the whole country, the only thing we have, the challenges are these Islamic people attacking the Christians. But the Christians, most of the states have wives. They have wives up by buying arms too. So when they think of attacking, we'll go a day before their own plan attack.
You remember you were telling me about the time when you guys, your like town decided to like brace up and start like a neighborhood watch almost.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Even some of them, they were calling in general.
General. Was,
Not that you never had any training military.
Yeah, I know,
but they were the vanguard of our security. Sometimes with the mango in the house, you climb inside on the mango
tree
In the night, and they'll be watching. They had one of a machine, ordinary, that's motorcycle.
Motorcycle, yeah.
The part, the other long one. So if he does this like it, you would think it's one powerful gun.
No.
And my neighbor said, the following morning, said, Mommy, I say you have guns. I say, where? See, he heard it in the night and he was wondering. He became scared. I say, ask Sam. So he asked him, say, Sam, say, yes, he has. So you know how to shoot. He said, when you're courageous, you can tell anybody anything. So when he showed him the where the tire and the rest, where they join.
Yeah, this the cock and stuff.
There is a part that when you touch that one and draw it, it sounds like a submachine gun. So they used to do a kind of vigil, night vigil.
Night watch.
We call them the vigilante group.
Oh.
So in the night, they will be going around to check. Some will hide in the trees, some by their gates to watch any suspicious movement.
Wow.
But the situation has calmed down. So it became a joint thing with the Muslims and the Christians where we stay. So nobody can outsmart the other. But that's some good. People have been careless, loose about it. Now, it is only in the villages that we hear of attacks, but not in the cities anymore.
Yeah.
Government has stepped up now with the surveillance. They've also recruited brought in soldiers and some other military staff to be surveillant and keep watch.
What's your favorite memory of your life so far?
Favorite one, I used to like dancing.
Oh, dancing.
So when they organize school dance, we'll be there.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately they start the music, rush there. And they used to organize it once a month, and they will call you class by class. You come and you dance,
then
another set will come, another set will come, and so laugh, and you dance different dancing steps.
Yeah.
When you sit in your corner or you just begin to dance too.
Yeah.
You remember the footstep of this senior. There was one that was always her dancing step was so fun. She didn't. So when I see her, I was laughing and doing the dance, that her step, until she caught me one day. She said, what is this? I said, like what? Say, you were looking at my dancing step and you are mocking me. I said, no, I just like the dancing step. So we just laughed.
That's
we
funny.
Became very good friends with that lady.
Even what was the music like?
High life music, soul music.
Beats. Heavy beat.
Heavy.
Yes. What do you think of Abby's music she listens to?
You know, the music of nowadays is different from that album.
But even African music as a whole is just way different.
It's way different.
It's more like soul and like beat and like
beats.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Heavy one.
You cannot even understand the words, but as long as you can hear the
beat, that's all that so you can dance.
Yeah.
Anyhow, freestyle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tell her about the parties in Nigeria, how they throw money on.
Or spray money.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like a really popular thing. Like when you're.
You cannot be dancing and nobody is spraying you.
Yeah,
you will not even enjoy the dance.
So if you're dancing, they spray money on you and like
all kinds of dollars and
money.
What
that's
happens
for the good dancers.
What happens if they don't? Then you're not a good dancer.
Go and sit down. Man, you feel uneasy now.
So grandma got a lot of money sprayed on her.
Yeah, they want the school dance. You don't get any money. Just dance and get tired.
Yeah.
Then you go and sit down.
Those are for like the weddings and the...
The weddings. You have to spray.
That's funny.
You have to spray.
Do you have any regrets in your life?
Yes, in school. Because I was a little bit courageous and I didn't want to be bullied. I hate somebody shouting on me. Mm-hmm. So there was this incident, one of my senior. Then I was in class, form one. Each time she sees me, she will try to look for one fault or the other. So when we go to eat, she must look for me. She'll come and snatch my spoon or give me your spoon. Let me use. When I finish, I'll wash and give you. So this fateful day, I told her no, because we have time to eat. And when it is, the time has reached, they will ring bell. Whether you finish your food or not, you must stand up. So when we got to the dining and the food was served, I had my spoon with. He said, give me. I said, no, I will give you. So she came and now pulled my ear. I was mad. So I said, okay, keep the spoon. I'm going. I won't even eat the food in the dining. So as I was going, she was calling me. Katrin, come back. Come back. I said, no, I won't come back. As she drew my ear, I just shook my head. Then she drew my sweater. I knew that day, as she drew the sweater, I just removed it like this and left it in her hands. I jumped up and slapped her.
You slapped her?
Of course. You cannot do that to somebody like that over and over, over. And so she said, huh? You know, be shocked. Huh? Catherine, you slapping me? I said, yes. And I will repeat it again. That very day, they brought me, summoned me to their class. Just did bold face, call it do bold face. Say, look at her, as bold as brat. I said, See her face, black. I say, I'm black and proud. That was the music of James Brown. I'm black and proud.
I'm black and proud.
Mm. Yeah. And so they talked. Then I now try to explain. I say, she took my spoon and I slapped her. They said, you did what? I said, I slapped her. They said they will report me to sister. I said, let's go. I knew it was against the school rule for any child to snap another. Later on, we became friends.
Oh,
and
okay.
Each time I recall, I'll just shake my head. Then one day she said, Katrin, you remember you slapped me before? I said, I remember you've been carrying my spoon too.
What advice would you give to a 20-year-old living in today's day and age?
Just be careful, be hardworking, have the fear of God in you, respect your seniors, do your schoolwork diligently and faithfully, serve God, and He will never leave you.
I have one more question. What do you think is the most important thing in life?
Life is not about money, or money is not everything in life. Life in itself has no meaning without God. So you have to know that after this world, when you pass away, you'll meet God. And there will be judgment. And after judgment, you either go to the right or to the left. That is, you either go to heaven or you go to hell. Life is not about accumulation of wealth. It's good to have it.
Mm-hmm.
But that is not the ultimate thing in life. Try to impact lives of people around you positively. If you see your neighbor without food, languishing in poverty, you are supposed to reach out, help. You don't have to wait for the person to come and beg you before you help. Impact lives of people positively and, if possible, spiritually. Because a spirit-filled person will know that these things are essential. Helping others is one of the essential things. That's a sign of your love for humanity, not to a mass wealth. Be rolling on the money without meaning. It loses its value when you cannot give somebody. Impacts his life. You are seeing the person. You are turning your face away. No. Reach out and pray for others. Even when you don't have, or if you don't have to give, pray for the person in your own closet. Let God touch the heart of, raise somebody to be a helper to the less privileged ones, to widows, orphans. And don't be too mean. Be firm in your life. Be firm. Don't allow people to trample on you. Be firm. Say what is right. Say yeah, yes should be yes all the time. Tell the truth. Yes or no. Impact lives. In a nutshell, the African training, home training, we believe in family. We believe in love. Extending your hand of love and help who need it. They don't have to come and ask you. Use your discretion to help others and impact their lives. These are the things that attract God's blessing upon you.
Was it you who said that in your school you would talk about life lessons and stuff too?
Yeah.
Like
great-grandma would teach you life lessons throughout your life.
Of course. We have evening, they say, tells at moonlight. That's in the night. during the moon dissing season, teach you or tell you, discuss with you things about life in itself using some proverbs.
Stories.
And all of them have moral implication. Mm-hmm. So that one guides your lifestyle.
Do you remember any particular proverbs or like one that stuck out to you?
As you, Jack.
Yeah, I know.
The way you make your bed is the way you lie in it. The way you bring up yourself, if you do something shameful, it will follow you. If you know how you make simple bed, mm-hmm. you make it nice, then you sleep well. But if you come back, you didn't make it well, your dresses are here, your trousers are here on this side, you cannot enjoy your sleep. Mm-hmm. That's the simple translation. So they say the way you make your bed is the way you lie in it. If you make it good, you will enjoy life. If you don't make it well, like some of our brothers, the blacks, selling some wheat and the drugs, what do you expect from them? Mm-hmm. Though they will, if you meet them, they will tell you the challenges they went through. That was the only thing they could do to survive. But then when you have made it, you should leave it now. You continue.
Yeah.
The Bible says you don't live in sin so that grace may abide. Or do you live in sin so that grace might abide? No. When you've made something, leave it and do another business instead. Do another thing that is more, it's cleaner than some dirty deals. If you are a gambler and you gamble every, the one that you have, go and invest it somewhere and leave that one. Otherwise, with time, you see as you gamble, the money goes back into the pool. And at the end of the day, nothing is left.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I believe in investment. You just have to do something with your life.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot sit down and be saying, I don't have this, I don't have this.
From growing up in a family of five to working for the Nigerian government as an investigator, getting married at 20 and having four kids, two of which passing away along with her husband, I could not think of anyone better to seek wisdom from. And straight wisdom was exactly what she spoke. Catherine Zaku is truly an inspiration to us all.
It's time for you to go. Not so. We will go and eat your dinner, so go.